Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Adam and Eve dared to transgress the Lord's requirement, and the terrible result of their sin should be a warning to us not to follow the example of disobedience. There is no genuine satisfaction except through obedience to the truth. Those who love God with all their heart will love all his commandments also. The sanctified heart is in harmony with the precepts of God's law, for they are holy, just, and good. No one who truly loves and fears God will continue to transgress the law in any particular. When man transgresses, he is under the condemnation of the law, and it becomes to him a yoke of bondage. Whatever his profession may be, he is not justified, which means pardoned. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Through obedience comes sanctification of body, soul, and spirit. This sanctification is a progress work, an advance from one stage of perfection to another. Let a living faith run like threads of gold through the performance of even the smallest duties. Then all the daily work will promote Christian growth. There will be a continual looking unto Jesus. Love for him will give vital force to everything that is undertaken. Thus, through the right use of our talents, we may link ourselves by a golden chain to the higher world. This is true sanctification, for sanctification consists in the cheerful performance of daily duties in perfect obedience to the will of God. When it is in the heart to obey God, when efforts are put forth to this end, Jesus accepts the disposition and efforts as man's best servant, and he makes up for the deficiency with his own divine merit.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and Heavenly Father, once again, you've given us an opportunity to come into the studios today to prepare a message for your people. We're most grateful and thankful, Father. We would like for you to now give us your Holy Spirit, not only us, but our listeners today. That is going to be most important for us to understand what is going to be said. And then the program, Father, like in the past, we wish to uplift you from the sin cursed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. Sorry about that. This afternoon, we're going to take a special format. As most of you might be aware now, if you're a regular listener, that we are having a call-in show on May the 8th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the 8th of May, 2006. Our special topic that we'll be dealing with that afternoon is the Ten Commandments Day. And this afternoon, in our studio, we have, as usual, Brother Paul Miller and Renrick Bow. But those who are long listeners to this show know that we had Brother Bo on some time ago, so we're going to ask Brother Bo to say a word.
Good afternoon to the nation, and it's good to be back with my brother from Turning Point.
If you want to reach us for comments or questions, you can call us at 322-6273, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. And most of you are aware that we have a website that is www.tpministry.org. And if you have any questions that you might want us to answer before, you can email us by going to our website. And you have the website, the email address of Paul, myself, Julian, and Renrick at the site. So you could email questions to us or topics that you might want us to take a look at that night. And we're going to say good afternoon to our regular speaker, Brother Paul.
Good afternoon, Brother Julian. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
But Paul, before we get on this afternoon, could you give us an update on what has been happening with Turning Point and the program thus far?
Yes, thank you. Now, for the past 3 years going on, Paul and I, we've been speaking to the nation on the importance of watching what we eat and what we drink and the way we conduct ourselves. We deal with health issues and also spiritual issues. While the health segment is not with us today, for our regular listeners, we are sorry to say that it'll be back on as soon as we finish dealing with the Ten Commandments, which also is an importance of dealing with health, and the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. So we are just speaking to the nation on the importance of God's Ten Commandments, because if it was ever time we needed the Ten Commandments, that time is truly now, when we see all the signs being fulfilled, like Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, being fulfilled before us. And he said it this way, because iniquity would abound, the love of many will truly wax cold. And as we can see today, sin is on every side, bombarding us left, right, and center.
Thank you, Brother Paul. As the listening audience might, if they're not aware, the Ten Commandments Day is coming up very shortly. I think it's May the 7th, They're having most churches are celebrating the Ten Commandments Day, and we here at Turning Point are taking this opportunity to take a look at the Ten Commandments and the importance. So my first question is to Brother Renrith. What are your thoughts on generally the Ten Commandments Day?
I think it's a good thing that the church as a whole recognizes the need to be obedient to God's law and the importance of God's law to be kept by the church and by Christians in general. It's a wonderful thing that God's law is being lifted up because it's a reflection of His character.
Brother Paul, what are your thoughts about the Ten Commandments today?
Well, as we've been sharing now for 3 years that God's law is still in effect, we had an opportunity to talk to a lot of ministers who were trying to say that the commandments were nailed to the cross. And as much as we try to show them that Colossians 2 is not talking about the commandments being nailed to the cross, but actually the ceremonial law, the law that points us back to Jesus after we have broken God's moral law. And now today, ministers are confirming what we've been saying now over 3 years here in Turning Point Ministry, but what has been speaking through all the prophets from Adam and Eve right up to this present time, letters of God's law is still important. And we are told in the scriptures that if we should follow these laws, there will be peace and harmony, not only in our lives, but also in our family lives, and yea, all around the world.
Brother Paul, I'm sure you did some research on this Ten Commandments today. What it seems to be the purpose of the Ten Commandments today?
The purpose of the Ten Commandments Day, they said, is to bring people back to the moral law, the Ten Commandments that has been set aside in the courtrooms and different places of society. And they believe that if they should bring the Ten Commandments back to where it should be, that in some way this will ease some of the tension. But we know based on the scripture that much we try to bring the Ten Commandments back to where it should be, the Bible is quite clear that when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction. As a matter of fact, just to quote one of their comments from their website, the Ten Commandments, their website, they say, finally, a day in which we can come together and celebrate God's eternal moral law. Now, that word eternal means everlasting, non-stop. Like one non-stop to Miami. One non-stop, eternal moral law. And if we should really be obedient to this immoral law, this eternal moral law, as they put it, from their website, all we can say to that is amen and amen. If they are serious, then let's sit back and see what will be the outcome.
But Renrick, there's much talk about this moral law, this Ten Commandments. Where can we find this Ten Commandments?
Then when Ten Commandments can be found in the Bible, Exodus chapter 20.
And another question based from that is, what is the importance of these Ten Commandments?
Well, the Ten Commandments are really a guideline for mankind. It points out sin and the importance of being faithful to the Lord and for Christians and for mankind in general to really stay away from sin.
Okay, but Paul, when we look at these Ten Commandments, we see that most of the churches say they believe in the Ten Commandments. But when it comes to the Fourth Commandment, it seems like there is a problem. What does the Fourth Commandment say, and why does it seem as if a lot of churches have a problem with the Fourth Commandment?
I think the reason why a lot of people have a problem with the Fourth Commandment is I don't think they really have a problem with the commandment itself. They just have a problem understanding how the change was made or if the change was ever made. Because most people tell you they believe in the Ten Commandments. But when you zero in on the Fourth Commandment, they sort of like back up. They don't really want to pay too much attention to it because the majority is going down the path of observing the first day of the week as a holy Sabbath day. But when you go to Exodus chapter 20, you will read where the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it continues in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in it, not only should you not work, but your wife or your husband or whoever it is, and your children or your manservant, none of them should do any work. And when I went to the Ten Commandments website, I came across something very interesting here. They went about placing the Ten Commandments on their website, which is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 17. And they can also be found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And what they said dealing with the Fourth Commandment, they said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, full stop. But they did not go into saying which day is the Sabbath day that you should keep holy. Then if you should go to the Converse Catechism of the Catholic Doctrine, they put it this way, dealing with the Fourth Commandment, which is actually the Third Commandment in their doctrinal teaching, because they took out the Second Commandment, and now they only have 9 commandments, but they still have 10, because they divided the 10 in 2. And the Catholic Church printed this way, remember, thou keep holy the Sabbath day, full stop. So I'm trying to figure out why is it the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church, and our Ten Commandment brothers, who are trying to bring back the importance of God's Ten Commandments, not putting in their doctrinal teaching which day is the Sabbath day. Could it be they're trying to hide something from us? I'm talking about the Ten Commandment brothers in the Catholic Church teaching. They will tell you that if you're going to follow the that if you believe in the Ten Commandments, and if you believe the Bible is the only standard, they will tell you all rightly that then you should keep the Sabbath day and keep holy, which is the seventh day. They also in their teaching say that if you want to follow anyone, you should follow the Seventh Adventists because they keep the Sabbath day holy. So I'm trying to figure out why is it they are trying to hide this from us. Is it intentional? I don't know. But it begs to ask a question. Why?
Brother Renrick, one of the things that Paul talked about was the Sabbath day. And as I talk to many of my students, one of the things that keep coming up is, Mr. Miller, how can we be sure which day is the seventh day? Is there a way for us to be sure?
Yes.
Can you tell us how we could be sure, Brother Renrick?
Well, let's look at Mark chapter 16. And in this chapter, we see that that Jesus was crucified on the cross and was buried. And then Mary Magdalene and the others, after he was buried, after the Sabbath day, they went to put oils and spices on the body to properly prepare the body. And in verse 5 and 6 it says, "And they entered the sepulchre, and they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Key text there, he is risen. And when we combine that with the practices of the Christian church today, we know that every Christian church recognizes, or the majority of Christian churches recognizes Sunday, Easter Sunday, as the resurrection day, and that's a custom. So if we say that Sunday is a resurrection day, Easter Sunday is a resurrection day, and that is the first day of the week, then we know that the day before that is the seventh day of the week, which was the Sabbath given at creation.
That is correct, Brother Renwick. And there's also a few other ways that we can know. If you go to the dictionary will tell you which day is the first day, which day is the seventh day. And most of you have a calendar or a organizer. If you look at that, it'll tell you which day is the seventh day. So there are many ways for us to know which day is the seventh day. But Brother Paul, my question to you is, we know that churches say that the Sabbath was kept before Jesus came. But after Jesus came, the Sabbath was moved from Saturday to Sunday. Did Jesus abolish part of the law?
No, he did not. I see a lot of people does not, like you said, that they need to go and do their homework or do a little research. Because if you should go in history, but you would discover that the first Sunday law that was ever passed was passed in AD 31 and was passed by Emperor Constantine. He was the first person to actually set up a Sunday law. And when he made the Sunday law, he put in the act that let all judges and town people do away with the trade on the venerable day of the sun. So they was actually worshiping the sun, which is now called Sunday. Monday came from those people who worship in the moon, which is now called Monday. So he said, on this day, Sunday, or Sun's Day, I should say, he said, let everyone do away with working on that day, and this is going to be now the new day of holiness. And then he went on to say, but let those people deal with agriculture and business. Let these people go on doing their work that is most important. Let people go on living within their way of living. So the first Sunday law was passed by Emperor Constantine, like I said, and that took place in March 7, AD 31. I mean, AD 321. It was not by the disciples like most people say. But some scriptures they try to use is that they try to say because the disciples break bread on the first day of the week and because the disciples collect offerings on the first day of the week, this is the reason why they keep Sunday. Then some people even go as far as to say that because of Revelation chapter 1, said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Which day was that? If you really want to look at the scripture in its context, the Bible does not identify which day is the Lord's Day. But if I should add a comment to it, I would say the seventh day is the Lord's Day. Because remember, Jesus said, He is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. So if you really want to be too justifying, or if you want to line scripture upon scripture, then the only thing you can add to it is, it only could have been the seventh day, and not the first day, like most people go on to say.
Brother Renwick, the first day is mentioned a few times in the New Testament. Does the Bible state that the first day has been blessed, sanctified, holy, or the Sabbath was changed?
Absolutely not. And before we specifically address that, I'd just like to add a few points to what Brother Paul said. And, I mean, when we realize and we start to study the scripture, we realize that Christ made no mention of any alteration of the Sabbath day from the seventh day to the first day. And the Bible is filled with scriptural evidence. And I would ask that our listeners make note of some of these scriptural texts. For example, Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 2, verse 2 and 23, we see that Jesus fed his hungry disciples on the Sabbath day. Mark chapter 3, we saw that Jesus healed a man with the withered hand on the Sabbath day. Mark chapter 6 and 2, Jesus taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Acts chapter 13, we saw that Paul and Barnabas gathered to preach in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Acts chapter 16. So Christ really had ample time, if the intention was to make a change to the day of the day that is recognized as the Sabbath day. He had ample time to change the law, but we see no scriptural evidence of this taking place. As a matter of fact, if we go to, I believe it is Ezekiel, we see that God actually said that the first day of the week, which we call Sunday, was a day of work according to the Lord.
Well, that is absolutely correct. But Paul, what I want to know is, the first day text, do they mention anything about the first day being holy, sanctified, or blessed?
No, it is not. It's not in Scripture. So most, when you hear people saying this, ladies and gentlemen, they are deceiving you. I'm going to read you a comment from a Catholic priest. His name is Father Leo Bodrick, and he said this word dealing with the transfer from the seventh day to the first day. Perhaps, he said, the boldest thing and the most rebellion change the church ever did happened on the first century. The holy day, he said, the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday. The day of the Lord was chosen, not for any direct note from the scriptures, he said, but from the church sense of its own power. The day of the resurrection, the day of Pentecost, 50 days later, came the first day of the week. So this would be the new Sabbath. But people who think the scripture should be the sole authority should largely become Seventh-day Adventists and keep the Sabbath day holy. So Father Bodrick, Leo Bodrick, tells us how this change came about. And he told us clearly that if you were going by the scriptures and the scriptures only, you should become a Seventh-day Adventist and keep the Sabbath day holy. Why is he saying this? Because in the Catholic Church, they don't only go by the scriptures. They go by the tradition and also whatever the reigning pope says as the gospel, because they believe whatever is bound on earth should also be bound in heaven. But we know based on the scriptures, Revelation chapter 22 to be exact, the Bible says, if we should add to the scriptures, or if we should take away from the scriptures, God will take our names out of the book of life.
But Renrick, you talk about miracles that Jesus did on the Sabbath day. But did he actually keep the Sabbath day?
Absolutely. If we go to Mark chapter 1, I believe it's verse 2, we saw that the Bible says, as his custom was, he preached and he kept the Sabbath.
But Paul, what about the old prophets? Did Abraham, example, Joseph, did the old prophets, David, did they keep the Sabbath day?
Yes, they did. Abraham kept the Sabbath. In the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about Abraham kept the Sabbath and all of God's statutes, and he observed all of God's covenant. And all through the Bible prophets, you can see ministers of the gospel, that is, the prophets of old, being obedient to God's holy law. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, where there's no law, there's no transgression. So if you would say the law was done away with, then that means you and I could do whatever we want to do. Remember that if the prophets of old did not obey the law, then why is it the Bible says the things that were written in the past were written for our example? All of them did exactly what they were supposed to. As a matter of fact, there's an Old Testament principle where a young man was stoned to death for collecting sticks on the Sabbath day. You might ask why those things are happening today. Because in the days when that actually took place, we were under what is known as a theocracy government, where God gave us specifically to the prophets of old that if anyone should do anything contrary to his command, they should be dealt with immediately.
Brother Renrick, we see in creation that there was seven days for the whole creation to come to being. Did anything happen special for the Sabbath day?
Yes.
Could you tell us what that was, please?
The first 6 days of creation, God took the time and he created this earth, he created man, he created the plants, he created everything that we see around us and things that we don't see. But on the seventh day, that particular day, God rested from his acts of creation.
Did anything else happen for the Sabbath?
Absolutely. On the seventh day, God sanctified that day and he made it holy. He separated from all the others.
Were any of the other days sanctified, blessed, or hallowed?
We have no evidence of that in Scripture.
So when people say that Sunday is a holy day, that is not scripturally based?
Absolutely not.
Okay, Brother Paul, as the president of Turning Point, why is Turning Point so adamant about the Sabbath?
Well, the reason why we feel strongly about the Sabbath day commandment is because this is the one that Bible prophecy predicted will take place. In Daniel 7:25, Jesus showed Daniel what the prophecy will bring forth. And here today, after 4,000 years after Daniel penned the prophecy, it is being fulfilled. And it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High. And he shall rail the saints of the Most High. And he shall think to change times and laws. has this prophecy been fulfilled? Right to the letter, ladies and gentlemen. And he also said this should be going on for times, times, and dividing of time. Well, if you should do a careful history based on church history and world history and a careful study of the world, you said this prophecy has been fulfilled exactly how Daniel printed out. And who are going to be? The saints of the Most High. And last week we told you the saints are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Were the saints worn out? Of course they were. The saints were worn out. The Bible is quite clear that the saints were killed by the papacy system. And just before the late Pope died, he apologized to the world for what they did during the period known as the Dark Ages. Did they make the change? In the catechism, you will discover that in the catechism, that there's no commandment over there with the bowing down of images, like Mary and Peter, just to name a few. They took that commandment out of their Bibles and out of their catechism. So they only have 9 commandments, and what they did was they divided the 10 commandments into 2. Did they do anything with any change? Of course they did. They say they changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And you read that in the catechism, where they said we changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And that's how Sunday became the popular day of worship in the church. And when Constantine came on board, Constantine brought all those pagan practices into the church. And here today we have the wedding ring, just to name a few, or just to name one, I should say, and all these other sorts of things that Constantine brought along with him just to gain political mileage, like most religious, like most world presidents and world leaders do today.
But Paul, are you telling us that only Sabbath keepers, or even more specifically, Seventh-day Adventists are going to heaven?
No. The Bible is quite clear that there are going to be people in heaven from every walk of life. As a matter of fact, if you read Romans chapter 2 or Romans chapter 3, I think it is, the Apostle Paul said, those people who are going to be judged by the law, those people who are knowledge of the law, then he said there are going to be a group of people who are going to be judged without the law. Then these people who were judged without the law, who had no knowledge of the law, or had no knowledge about Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to the Old Testament, will ask Christ when they get to heaven, how did he get the nail prints in his hand? And the Bible said they would tell him, Jesus would say to them, this is what I got when he was among his friends. There are going to be people in heaven from every walk of life. But let it be perfectly clear that if you know without a shadow of a doubt that Saturday is the Sabbath, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that it was changed from Saturday to Sunday by the papacy system like they said they did, and history says they did it also, and you should die, sad to say, you'll be waking up on the wrong side of the mountain. It is quite clear, ladies and gentlemen, you all would agree with me, that if I have a relationship other than my wife, and I should die, you too would agree that I will wake up on the wrong side of the mountain. I will open up my eyes in hell. You see, women realize that it's not sins that's going to keep us out of heaven. It's going to be sin. Because like the Bible said, the wages of sin, singular, is death. So any of the commandments we break, according to James 2, the Bible is quite clear we are guilty of breaking all. So today we invite you once again to pick up your Bible and read Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5 and do a reflection check. Am I lined up with all the principles that are written in God's Word? And be assured, like we told you in the past, that power to align, to be aligned and to stay aligned only comes through Jesus Christ.
Brother Renwick, We have been keeping the Sabbath for some time now. And one of the questions I want to ask you is there a special, does the Bible talk about any special blessing or promises for those who keep the Sabbath?
Absolutely. But before we go there, Julian, I just like to quickly say to the audience that Paul, Renrick, or Julian have no power of their own to keep God's law. Amen. It's only through the cooperation of the Holy Spirit and the power that is given through us through Christ Jesus that we're able to keep his law. Amen. And, there are great promises in the Bible for those that do keep his law. And I'd just like to read one of those, Psalms 119, verse 165, and it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is thy delight, is my delight. And in the middle of his law, we see his Sabbath, the Sabbath of the Ten Commandments. And Isaiah chapter 66 verse 22 tells us that the Sabbath will be kept throughout all eternity. And that's a wonderful promise to know that the same Sabbath that was given to Adam and given to all mankind, that we would be able to, for all eternity, to come and worship before the Lord and rest with him on the Sabbath day, his blessed Sabbath day.
Now, Brother Paul, we talk about this Ten Commandments Day, and we see that the churches want to unite. Is this unity or this uniting of the churches a good thing?
It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Why is it a good thing and it's a bad thing? Because Christ called for us to come together to be one, to be speaking and practicing and doing the same thing. But here again, if you should go to the Ten Commandments Day website, you have a lot of ministers who are contradicting each other because they don't all believe the same thing. They are not all practicing the same thing. For an example, just last week on the talk show, there was a minister who associated himself with one of the ministers who was leading this movement of the Ten Commandments Day, and he was on a talk show without his Bible. And I asked him to turn his, and how I noticed, because I told him to turn his Bible to the text that I was going to quote on air, and he said he didn't have his Bible. And then he said, this sad comment, that not every time you speak to people about spiritual matters, you need your Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not right. Jesus is quite clear in Matthew 4:4. Man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How can you bring your car to me to be repaired and I don't have the tools to fix it? And it'll be more than, I mean, out of your mind for you to bring it to me to fix the bumper, and I don't know how to fix bumpers. How, you see, I want you to do a spiritual check, ladies and gentlemen. The next time you hear ministers come on the talk show, write down how much times they quote the scriptures. And very rarely they quote the scriptures. They want to quote other philosophers and other people who have nothing to do with the Bible. Never once turning to the scriptures. And this gentleman was on the talk show for 1.5 hours. And not one scripture did he quote. And the host told me that was not true. I said, the young man is sitting right there with you. Ask him if he quoted any scriptures. And I tell you, it is a shame. And this young man also sits in the position of leading our young people to the kingdom of heaven. I think it should be wrong for talk show hosts to bring ministers of the gospel on the talk show to discuss spiritual matters, and they leave their Bibles at home.
All right, that's about as much time as we have, but we will have closing comments from Brother Renry.
I'd just like our listeners to turn to John chapter 14, verse 15, and it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Those are the words of Jesus Christ. He wants us to do that in love and through the power that he gave us through his Holy Spirit.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we have a live call-in show, May 8th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., live for the full 2 hours. No commercials, no nothing. So you can call in from the break. Now we can let Brother Paul have the last comment.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, the Bible is quite clear. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, a woman, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you don't rightly divide it based on how you think or how you feel, like the minister said in the talk show. He think, he feel. It's not a thinking and a feeling process, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Not the faith of how you feel, how you think, but the faith of God's word. Remember, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be the scriptures you're going to be quoting to him. Because remember, when Christ was tempted, he quoted the scriptures to the devil. He did not play around with the devil. And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, the time has come for us to allow Romans 1:16 to be alive in our life. That you and I should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, referring to the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to every one of us that believe, yea, around the world, and even the Bahamas land today.
Let us pray. Thank you, O Father, for another opportunity to come before you. We ask forgiveness for our sins, O Lord, and for our iniquities. Cleanse our hearts. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see. And send us the Holy Spirit that we may be able to understand and read the Scripture. Lord, we know these are the last days. So we ask for your Spirit to help us and to guide us into all truth. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julian Miller. May the Lord truly bless you.